Let's read together Proverbs chapter 30, verses 10 through 20. Here we have more wise sayings of Agur, the inspired author who wrote the 30th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning with verse 10. Do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. Let's begin our study of this portion of Proverbs chapter 30 with some background notes. Now for our background notes, let's consider Agur's saying in verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. We certainly understand the first part of this saying. Showing contempt and disrespect to one's parents is serious sin. Notice, by the way, that no indication of age is given here. So it's not just teenagers that are in view. It's possible for mature adults to mock and ridicule their old-fashioned and ignorant aging parents with whom they disagree over all kinds of matters, finances, politics, and of course, spiritual matters. You can disagree and still be respectful. Now, what about the penalty in the second part of the saying? Verse 17, once again, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Does this mean that the ravens will attack the person and swoop down and pluck out one or both eyes, and then young eagles will feast on these gouged out eyes? No. What is in view here is the disgrace of not having a decent burial, and the unburied dead body of the sinful person being left for the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Not to have a decent burial was the judgment of God under the law. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 25 and 26, where we have the judgment of God pronounced on those who would not follow the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and no one shall frighten them away. From Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. Let's turn now once again to our doctrinal point for this 30th chapter of Proverbs. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. Verse 10, do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. The fact that the word malign or slander is used here in the first part of the proverb shows that it is a false accusation that is in view. The question now is whether the he in the second half of the proverb is the servant who's been slandered or the master of the servant who's been wrongly slandered by someone. The saying once again in verse 10, do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. So is the he here in the second half of the proverb the servant who's been slandered or the master of the servant who's been wrongly slandered by someone. In either case, the implication is that the curse will carry some weight because it is deserved, unlike the undeserved curse that we saw back in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, which carried no weight. In other words, here in Proverbs 30, verse 10, God will make sure a penalty will follow this sinful act of slander. Now, the overall application of this proverb is, don't meddle in another person's domestic affairs. And this proverb certainly has an application to the Christian community today. In Romans chapter 14, verse 4, we read, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. From Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Let's be careful how we talk about other believers and their service to the Lord. Verses 11 through 14, Proverbs 30, beginning now with verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Now the word generation here could also be translated class of people. You can see from these four verses that four kinds of evil persons are mentioned. The disrespectful, verse 11. The hypocritical, verse 12. The proud, verse 13. And the greedy, verse 14. Verse 11, there is a generation or class of people that curses its father and does not bless its mother. The sin of being disrespectful to parents is certainly all around us today. Maybe you've experienced this in your own family. Verse 12, there is a generation or class of people that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Here we have the self-righteous hypocrite. The Pharisees were a typical example of this class of people. Remember what the Lord said to these self-righteous hypocrites in Matthew chapter 23? I'm reading Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. From Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Verse 13, Proverbs 30, 13. There is a generation or class of people. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Here we have the proud class of people. They have lofty eyes. That is, they look down on everyone else. God hates the sin of pride. And verse 14. There is a generation or class of people whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This class of people is not only greedy, but they are fierce in their greed. They rip apart and trample underfoot and cut down the poor and needy in their oppression without the slightest feeling of guilt, like fierce animals. Verses 15 and 16. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. In verse 14, we add a description of the class of people who are greedy oppressors. Now here at the beginning of verse 15, we have an illustration of this type of greedy oppressor. This person is like a leech or vampire whose two teeth or bloodsuckers are both named give, give, and give. To be labeled a leech is certainly not a compliment. Now in the second half of verse 15 and in verse 16, we have the mention of four other examples of desires that are never satisfied. Let's read that verse again. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave or Sheol, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. So here at the end of verse 15 and in verse 16, we have the mention of four other examples of desires that are never satisfied. Number one, death and the grave never say we have enough already. Number two, a barren womb continually desires to be filled with life. Number three, the earth has a constant desire for moisture. And number four, a fire never stops burning because its desire for more fuel is never satisfied. Now the expression, there are three, yes, four, is a literary formula to emphasize the truth that's being illustrated in the series. Here the point is, greed is never satisfied. Verse 17. Now we looked at verse 17 under our background notes. Verses 18 and 19. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with a maiden. Now, what's the connection between these four wonderful or amazing things? Various suggestions have been given for the common thread. You can read the commentaries and see a number of suggestions. Is it that all four follow no set path or leave no trace? I like the idea that here we have four wonders in four different areas: sky, land, sea, and human love. Think of the wonder of flight and aeronautics as you observe the seemingly effortless flight of an eagle through the air. And how does a snake without feet or legs so easily propel itself on a smooth rock? Think how majestic is a sailing ship gliding through the sea. And the wonder of human love as a young man courts a young woman is beyond description. All four of these wonderful and amazing things should motivate us to praise and worship the Lord who designed it all. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. And that brings us to our practical application, which we will take from verse 20 of this chapter. Don't become desensitized to sin. Don't become desensitized to sin. Verse 20, Proverbs 30, verse 20. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. What a contrast we have here with the wonder and beauty of human love that we saw at the end of verse 19. How is it possible for this adulterous woman of verse 20 to become so insensitive and desensitized to sin? My guess is that with the first act of adultery, this woman did not just treat it as another meal and say, I have done no wrong. She was not yet desensitized to the sin of adultery. But with multiple acts of adultery, it became easier and easier to the point where it became as ordinary as eating a meal with no sense of having done wrong. The more you sin in any area, the more desensitized you become to sin in that area. Let's be careful what we even allow ourselves to read or to watch so that we don't start down a path of becoming insensitive to sin. Don't become desensitized to sin.